Dono on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Philadelphia's Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, WPHT HD, WOGL HD3, Philadelphia. From the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter. Always live on the free Odyssey app. It's Dom time. Now, Dom Giordano.
All right, it is Dom time, 855-839-1210. Dom's Money Melody coming up. You got the side question. National Coffee Day was just the other day. An acquired taste, a person, a place, or a thing. Well, he's more than an acquired taste. It was easy. Remember when he started out? I don't know how many years ago that was. We're going to do this big cleanup. We're going to pick up garbage and trash in tough places in Philadelphia. Who is this Scott Presler guy? I'm thinking, what the heck's going on here? And people flocked to it. Maybe not right in the beginning, but after a couple times, they did. And then he turned to voter registration and checking on the system, shall we say. And he has become a phenom. Every day that goes by, it gets greater. Scott Presler joins us for an update on what's happening here in Pennsylvania. Scott, welcome back. Scott, when was the point you shifted from the cleanup to the voter registration?
Well, thank you for having me back. You know, that's what people really don't know is I've always done voter registration. My first job was helping to elect Governor Greg Abbott in 2014. It just wasn't until the cleanups that, you know, I hit mainstream media. And then people were like, oh, he also does voter registration. And and I just want people to know that, no, I have been focused on registering voters for the last decade of my life. This is nothing new. And I think we're finally seeing the fruit of our resolve.
So, Scott, what do you have to report? What's the latest today?
Actually, we have a lot of news to cover today. So after constant pressure yesterday on the Pennsylvania Department of State, they finally released the voter registration data at like 4:30 p.m. And by the way, that it's never that late. It's always 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock. So in the last 7 days, the Democrats had a net loss of over 5,000 voters. The Democrats only picked up 7,000 voters, while Republicans picked up 12,000. This is the third week in a row since the Taylor Swift endorsement of Kamala that Republicans have out-registered the Democrats statewide by over 4,000 every single week. And furthermore, Luzerne County, you know, the county that still has a backlog of thousands of voter registration applications, thousands of mail-in ballot request applications, they went from plus 83 Republicans to now plus 410. So our efforts in Luzerne County are continuing to pick up steam. And I want to give a special shout out to Bucks County. You know, this year we have flipped Bucks, we have flipped Luzerne, and whereas 4 years ago the Democrats had 15,000 more registered Democrats in Bucks County, we now have 2,500 more registered Republicans than Democrats in Bucks County.
It's shocking. And you have a nice touch on Twitter with Luzerne County saying, get busy processing this. Why are you putting those boulders in front of your headquarters?
Yeah, so the manager for Luzerne County for election security has put boulders. Luzerne County, your money is going to boulders for election security. And so I wrote them and said, oh, okay, I don't know what a boulder is going to do, but how about some more staff?
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
The mismanagement going on is truly incredible to watch.
Hey, Scott, report here, too, of something that's happening that you have gone into neighborhoods like this. I first met you in person in Harrogate, bordering on Kensington. Inquire today in Deep Blue, Philly, working class voters, black, Latino, white, are shifting toward Republicans. And they say when you get to the poorest subsets of neighborhoods, that's where the increase is the greatest.
Yes. Yes, we're seeing this. And you know what? I want to give a shout out. There's a woman named Tatiana who is working for the Trump team in Kensington, of all places. And she has told me anecdotally, she goes, Scott, entire Hispanic working class neighborhoods are shifting to Republican in Philly. And she told me that months ago. And seeing that today from the Inquirer shows me that all of the work that the PAGOP, Trump Force 47, Early Vote Action, all of us working together, we truly are changing the game, even in blue areas like Philly. But furthermore, it shows me something more important. The Democrats have become the elite. The Democrats are the party of the rich. The Republican Party is the party of union workers and working class Americans. And we are there for the forgotten American people that are just struggling to get by. And I think this Inquirer story really shows the change that's occurring.
Yeah, I knew about in South Philly. You know about that, too. There are certain Trump zones in South Philly. But this is in the heart of desperation that people are moving toward this, and your efforts to get them registered across the state. Scott, do you have any knowledge? There's a Democrat now, Burns, Frank Burns, in Johnstown, running against the Republican because the Republican is a business type bringing in Afghan refugees, he says, to take away jobs from natives of Johnstown, which is a pretty desperate place.
Yeah, I'm not aware of that story. I do know in Charleroi, where they have shut down a factory that's, you know, shutting down 300 Washington County jobs, and that we're bringing in all of these immigrants. Look, at the end of the day, this is America first. This is the people of Pennsylvania. I don't care what color you are, what creed you are, whatever. If you are here in America and you're a citizen in Pennsylvania right now, my allegiance is to you, that you, your family, you should be the priority, period. And I'm not going to apologize for that. And there's nothing wrong with that. And I think that's why we're seeing so many people turn to the Republican Party, because it's evident Kamala and the Democrats are going to prioritize the rest of the globe. The Republican Party is going to prioritize you, the American citizen. But there is one breaking story that I really want to cover briefly, Don. President Trump is coming to Butler for his triumphant return at the site of the assassination attempt at the farm show in Butler County, Pennsylvania. Now, get this. Tell me if you think this is a coincidence or not, Dom and Dan, that the Pennsylvania voter registration application for online by the Pennsylvania Department of State, that website is undergoing maintenance and will be unavailable for voter registration on Saturday, October 5th from 6 p.m. Oh, the rally starts at 5 p.m. until 12 a.m. that day. Do you guys think it's a little interesting that they would choose that day of all days to do site maintenance for voter registration when all the eyes across the globe are going to be on Butler County, Pennsylvania? I don't know, but it's on social media.
I am not the conspiracy guy usually.
Oh, I am, man. I see how fishing is here.
Take that bib off. You can't have that saliva drip on.
Wow, yeah.
But, Scott, you're...
Of all the days, Dom, you don't think they could have chosen any other day than the time the guy returns to the site of his assassination attempt?
Like, they ought to be doing it at 2 a.m. to 6 p.m. or 6 a.m. on Sunday morning.
Exactly. Why not? Yeah.
All right, well, Scott, we're on this because maybe we can get people to push back and say, no, you can't do it at that point. Explain to listeners why that's critical and what you do. And Butler's probably going to have 20,000 people there, I would assume.
Oh, it's going to be 80,000 people. This is objectively an iconic moment in history that a president who was shot in his ear, who survived an assassination attempt, is returning to the very place that he almost died, and he's returning triumphantly to be there for the people that he hopes to represent and win this November. That is so iconic and epic, and And this is, I want to be clear, this is election interference. The Department of State is engaging in election interference by scheduling this maintenance on Saturday the 5th during this iconic rally that is going to get attention from around the globe. And if they truly, if Governor Shapiro wants the automatic voter registration and wants everybody to get registered to vote, then I'm certain that they would have no problem by scheduling the maintenance for a time that people probably are going to be less likely to use the website between the hours of maybe 12 a.m. to 6 a.m. I think that's a pretty reasonable thing to ask.
What's your goal now with the staff of 40 and everybody else? And you're right, something this iconic and how well known you are. How many people do you think you can register there at Butler? And Scott, I want to underline for listeners, because you've made this point, you have all these people that are our voters, and they donate. They go to rallies, and it's shocking, and yet they're either not registered or they don't end up voting. It's incredible.
Yes, well, real quickly, let's touch on some of these groups for a second. 2020 was decided by 80,000 votes, right?
Right.
We have 80,000 truckers in Pennsylvania alone. A lot of truckers are driving on election day. We get a mail-in ballot, they vote, we win. Our beautiful Amish, we have 90,000 of them. Governor Shapiro and the Democrats are waging a war on religious freedom, small businesses, dairy, raw milk, school choice, you name it. We are courting the Amish vote in a way that hasn't been seen before. We engage that community, we win. We have 800,000 veterans, and we saw on stage last night during the vice presidential debate that Tim Walz admitted to his stolen valor, admitted on national television that he lied. He called him a misspoke, but we all know that means he lied. And so our veterans don't take kindly to stolen valor. And last, we have 930,000 hunters in Pennsylvania. 30% of hunters are not registered to vote. Tim Walz, the man running to become your vice president, just said guns are the problem. He said that guns are the problem. Kamala and the Democrats will come after our Second Amendment rights and after our hunting rights. And if you are a hunter, if you're a firearm owner, then you must register to vote at your current address. Go to vote.pa.gov and do that today, because you can't do it on October 5th because the Department of State doesn't want you to register during that day. But my goal, Dom and Dan, is I'm setting a goal of having 500 new registered voters during that Butler rally, which will be 1/160th of what we need in just one day to win those 80,000 votes that 2020 was decided by. Each one of these rallies is consequential. Our team will be there. And one last announcement. We now have 50 paid staffers across Pennsylvania with early vote action.
Wait a minute. We just talked with you 30 minutes ago. It was 40. What the heck's happening
here? No, babe. We got 50. We got 50. Listen, they cannot stop this train. After last night, after seeing J.D. Vance show why President Trump chose him, seeing the level that he was be able to articulate a positive vision, that he was calm, that he was an America First agenda. I mean, people were so fired up. My phone has been blowing up nonstop, and we now have 50 paid staffers at earlyvoteaction.com.
Earlyvoteaction.com. Scott, keep us in the loop. We're going to see you. I know Al Schmidt is dodging me on a set of a local TV thing. We were all glad-handing and bro-hugging and everything else. I don't know why he won't come on. I got Henry and Dan on it. Maybe we've got to put Presler on this.
I'd love the opportunity. Thank you, gentlemen.
Nice
as always.
Oh, my God. 500 in one fell swoop. Yeah, that is kind of curious when the Butler rally, which will be iconic. Tell me if you're going to that. That is a far piece from here. What is it? 300 miles? I'd have to calculate. I think Pittsburgh is, what, 400 away? If people are going to that, this is from our area.
5 hours, 12 minutes, apparently.
5 hours, 12 minutes. Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah.
That's a long drive.
I think the 1210 copter should be deployed for this. All right. 855-839-1210.
You're paying for that, right?
Yeah. And we're not even, Dan, we're not even getting a response from the great Al Schmidt, right?
We got one last week that said he was unavailable. I'll circle back.
Literally, you know, since they're doing maintenance at midnight on a Saturday, I'll be sitting at home in the Dom Dome, and I can tape the interview right there, Al. We got to ask these Republicans, are they going to say something about this? Where are they? Why does maintenance have to be done 6 p.m. to 12 a.m. on Saturday night, October 5th? Well, you know, we don't have guys that want to come in. Well, what did companies do that really need to be up and running? Don't they do that at 2 o'clock in the morning? I'm the anti-conspiracy guy. Dan balances this out by being an extreme conspiracy person.
Do we land on the moon, Dom?
But this, asked Al Schmidt that, yeah. This smacks of, yeah, well, we're going to cut this down. We don't like this. Let's do the maintenance then. What kind of maintenance do they need to be doing? 855-839-1210. You get in. Hit us on the side question. But right now, it is time for...
Uh-oh. Where's my...
It is time for...
There it is.
It's Dobbs Money Melody.
Has all the money gone?
All right. You win today. You're getting a pair of tickets to a night on the bayou. Celebrating Creedence Clearwater Revival on October 11th at the Zlock Performing Arts Center. We love that spot. We've done speaker series there, Rich and I. It's on the campus of Bucks County Community College. Dan, what's the backstory?
Yeah, Dom, today we're talking about acquired tastes. And for the past 2 hours, Henry and I have been bouncing around. Who are we going to do? Frank Zappa was one of the answers at one point. I was going to do Rush. But we settled on this 90s singer that Henry believes is an acquired taste. I've liked her for a long time, but Grammy Award winner, big, big name here, doing what might be. I'm playing it today because yesterday we did Billy Corgan covering a song, and it was terrible. And it kind of almost compared to Taylor Swift's worst cover of all time played on Money Melody. This might be up there too. We're looking for the cover artist today, Dom. Take a listen, covering Fergie. Here you go.
What you gonna do with all that junk? All that junk inside your trunk. Come on, get you drunk, get you love.
Covering Fergie. Oh yeah. My God. Yeah. Oh God. Yeah.
What you gonna
soon
do?
Soon they'll be covering Borowski.
You know what? I said it's Fergie. This was when she was still at the Black Eyed Peas, I think. So they're actually covering the Black Eyed Peas here, yeah. Looking for the cover artist today, Dom. Grammy Award winner, really big name that Henry thinks is an acquired taste. Particularly because of some of the vocal stylings that she pulls out in some of her songs.
Yeah, and also sometimes they just can't get into her songs, so I'm not in that mood.
There's always a mood for this person in my...
All right, 855-839-1210. Hit us with that. You're off to the Zlock. And we'll get your answer to the side question. Nobody better than Scott Presler. This Inquirer article at 2:30, we'll get into it with Bill Hamilton, the head of the Teamsters, really, across much of Pennsylvania. And talk about the longshoremen. Part of me says this is going to be bad for people. But politically, how does it play out? Biden, I'm not going to do anything. I side with the union. Okay. All that straight ahead on Talk Radio 1210.
Dom Money Melody.
Where's all the money gone?
Show me the money.
That is exactly right. All right, let's hear the tune, Dan, and we're looking for the cover artist.
Dolce and Gabbana, Fendi and Bandana, Karen, maybe Sharon, all their money got me wearing.
All right, it might be as bad as Taylor Swift.
I kind of like the Taylor Swift. It's an acquired taste hearing her do that.
Oh, wow. Yeah. You turned the corner on Taylor
just
Swift.
Just picturing her doing that with the great Eminem. I wonder what Eminem thinks about it. Let's go to John in Collegeville. All right, John, who's covering that song?
That was pretty bad, but it sounds like Alanis Morissette.
Oh, boy. That is great work there. My God.
It's like rain.
You know, there should be, Dan, a quiz show on TV, who's covering that song. Yeah. And then they bring out the person who covered it, something like that.
Oh, I like this idea,
It's got a concept.
Sounds like a new Fox show after Masked Singer. Yeah, who covered it?
Oh, God. Yes. Rudy Giuliani. Wasn't Rudy in there one time?
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah, and Ken Jeong walked off.
Oh, God.
Wait, isn't Masked Singer kind of who covered it?
Well, I guess, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess it is in its own
way.
But
I like the more direct shot. You bring in a contestant, sit him down, like a, what's that song or whatever they do where they play the first couple of notes, but instead do cover songs. I like it.
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, but Alanis Morissette, she won the 1996 Grammy Award for Album of the Year. Huge, huge artist. One of the Rolling Stones' 500 greatest artists or songs of albums of all time. She's on all those lists, Tom. But Henry thinks she's an acquired taste.
Yeah, you just played the big radio hit. Way to dig deep here.
All right, let's go to Robert in Bensalem, who's not an acquired taste. Hey, Robert, good afternoon.
Hey, Dom, Dan, it's good to talk to you guys today. You asked the difference between Trump and Vance, and I think the best answer is Trump is a macro guy, and Vance is a micro guy. Trump's the visionary. Vance appears to be the technician. And they're always going to do better in a debate. And I really like his stock rising, J.D. Vance. I think he's impressed me more than I thought he would. I'll leave it at that.
That's a good point. But you know what? Trump is a guy that gets branding, gets the nugget. He can't spew out in a debate a few nuggets in addition to the macro or go after David Muir. I just think that was a big lost opportunity. That would have been a great moment for him.
I think he wanted to, but he would. I think his handlers, you know, told him, "Please don't," because they don't. They didn't want to see him get, like, you know, really angry or anything like that. But I think Vance is a lot better, and I really think Vance is. I think he, the biggest loser last night was Kamala, because Vance was pounding her, and Walz did nothing to defend her.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That was the smartest thing, Robert, that we talked about. It's not about beating up on Walz. He's just there as a human vehicle. It's attaching Harris to all this stuff.
Right, right, right. But my answer to the side question is jazz. And I think it's something that happens as we get older because there's very few young jazz fans. But my favorite is Stanley Jordan. And if you don't know who that is, if you saw the movie Blind Date with Bruce Willis, when they early in the date when they were in the sound studio, the guy that was recording was Stanley Jordan. Played six instruments, wrote. He was an amazingly talented guy. And jazz is the perfect music to play when you're getting together with friends and you're doing something because it doesn't intrude on what you're doing, but it sounds really good in the background.
I fully endorse this answer from you, Robert, because I don't know what it was, but it was like right when I turned 30, it's Alexa, play jazz. Every time I get home making dinner, it's jazz is in the background, and I love it. John Coltrane's become one of my favorite artists. I never cared about John Coltrane when I was younger, but you're right. Completely acquired taste there.
Good stuff, Robert. I have to admit, acquiring for that. I guess I haven't given it enough time.
I think one that you could relate to would be, it took you, well, I don't know, because you're an Italian growing up in South Philly, but Frank Sinatra, as a young kid, you're not a huge Sinatra fan. It's kind of jazzy standards, right?
I guess there's some.
And then as you get older, you respect and appreciate what Sinatra
exactly.
does.
Well,
even though all his music sound the same.
Yeah, it's the voice, though. I can tell the quality of the voice. It is different. You know, it's noticeable. Then there's My Way, and nobody should be allowed to sing it other than Frank. All right, 855-839-1210. You get on board. Coming up momentarily, we're going to talk with the head of the Teamsters. Scott and I were talking about this article in Deep Blue Philly, The Inquirer now. Working class voters are shifting toward Republicans. A lot of them are Hispanic, but they go into the poorer the area gets, the more that are saying, what the heck, inflation. They're seeing what it's doing to them. Now, with this strike with longshoremen, and Biden's on record, he's got nothing to lose in this. He wants his cred to be the working class hero, the union working class hero. He's going to stick with the longshoremen. And the demands are preposterous, at least what they're saying now. And what they're making is hard to believe, at least in New York and Jersey. I gave you the stats. So we're going to ask the head of the Teamsters about this and how does that shake out. I just saw a poll out, though, indicating that in the Cook Political Survey, which has bias, that Trump loses advantage over Harris on inflation. The tariff policy is unpopular in swing states. I'll say this about it. I don't believe that. I think that Trump for a Republican gain greatly, if you remember, in 2016. We're not going to do unending wars, and we're going to go after these American businesses that are playing a game of getting the American brand and moving to Mexico and playing this game. So would people really say, I trust Kamala Harris more on inflation? They're buying the argument that Trump is going to cause bigger inflation with tariffs. No, he's not. They'll be limited. It's mainly a tool to keep American businesses in line and to try to keep the Chinese in line a bit. If we had widespread tariffs, I mean, really all over the place, then yeah, that would be a problem. This is going to be very limited. It's punitive. And that's exactly what we ought to be doing in limited circumstances. I'll see what the head of the Teamsters thinks coming up about tariffs, automation, but mainly this strike and this Inquirer article, which says, again, Inquirer, the deeper you go into desperate neighborhoods in Philadelphia, the more you're seeing people turn to the Republican Party. And think about this. I don't even know how that's happening, given how bad the Republican Party is in Philadelphia. They might be the worst in any city in America that I know of. Vince, you can come on. Vince Fenerty, get out of that bar over there in Bridesburg or wherever the heck it is. Pick up a phone. Tell me otherwise. Are they out there? Are they out there mining this breakthrough by Donald Trump? No, they're not. And yet it's still happening. All right, phone lines are 855.
Just to your point, to underline the great interview you had with Scott, too, Beach Chair says over on Twitter, you can always at DomShow1210, tweet the show. I said this before, I followed Scott for years pre-Twitter ownership. When Donald Trump and J.D. Vance win, they owe a huge debt to Scott Pressler, not the PAGOP, definitely not the GOP. He should have been recognized with the primetime slot at the convention.
Absolutely. You know, I don't know what's going on there. We went through that before, why they didn't embrace him even more. I get it. But Dan, we got to get on these Republicans. I don't know which Republican representative we can get fired up to say, you mean to say you guys are not going to demand to the media to say, isn't it curious that they want to do this maintenance in the middle of the election of our lifetime, in the epicenter of the election, during the very time that Trump will be speaking in Butler with Scott Pressler and others there? Can this not be done at some other time, like midnight on Friday night or midnight on Saturday night? Why does it have to be during that time? If you want us to buy into the election, and we got to get past not buying into this at some point, then help us out here and don't do things that are suspicious. Pretty simple, isn't it? All right, Bill Hamilton, straight ahead on Talk Radio 1210. All right, big issues, big guests, and we're coming to your call. Bill Hamilton came on the show last week. He is the president of the Pennsylvania Conference of Teamsters, representing 96,000 Teamsters in the Pennsylvania area. President, busy guy, the Joint Council 53, Eastern Pennsylvania, South Jersey. President of the storied Local 107 in Philadelphia, an international Eastern Regional Vice President since 2008.
How does he do so much?
Yes. It's a lot of titles. Only one VP thing in here, and I called him the VP on Inside Story. I should have said, I think I said president. Yeah, I said the leader of the Teamsters. I didn't have a card in front of me, Bill. So we had him on because of the Teamsters and this whole idea of Trump and the breakthrough, the polling even in his survey here in Pennsylvania. Wanted to get somebody on. The longshoremen are allergic to Henry's entreaties to come on. Hey, Bill, welcome back to the show. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Dom. I appreciate it.
Well, look, I realize the overall, as we're taking macro since you're not the president of the longshoremen. But, Bill, some of the wages, particularly in New Jersey and New York that I've read out, I'm not saying that's all, to be asking for 77% over 6 years, and the tone of the head of the union will cripple you. Tell me what your thoughts are. How effective is this?
Well, Dom, I obviously don't speak for the ILA, but we support their efforts. And I think that the public and what's been fashion. And to be honest with you, during negotiations, when I'm actively in negotiations, I won't come on and make comments until we're done the deal either. So I don't blame them for not publicly making comments or telling their side of the story. But I can assure you that this was done in a just and righteous way, because they announced 2 weeks ago they were going to do this. They didn't just pull the plug at the last minute and take these people on strike. And we support their efforts, because a lot of the things that are being said about wages and benefits and that are some of that may be true. I can't speak on the exact content of it, but I can tell you one thing. The AI part of it is something that's real and affects all workers, Teamsters and ILA people.
Okay, let's talk about that, because I don't know if it surprises you or not. I am deeply concerned about automation and a lot of jobs. Tucker Carlson, of all people, was the champion of saying, this is one of the real issues we're going to face. But, you know, Bill, I don't know that their kids, for example, are going to go into the same profession, or they're going to be able to stretch this out for the next 20 years. These businesses have to use a certain amount of automation.
I don't disagree with you, Dom, but when it comes to automation and safety, they're two separate items. And I think you can have AI and you can have portions of your workforce affected by AI. But when it comes to operating cranes and trucks and wireless and autonomous vehicles, that creates safety concerns. I mean, they're proposing national trucking automated tractor trailers on the road. That's a killer. And cranes without operators, who would want to work on the ground with an AI operated crane while you got people unloading and loading underneath you? There's a safety issue here that's not being addressed, and that's a big concern to workers in a dangerous business.
I would agree with you on that. Now, Newsom just vetoed a bill in California. Don't know if you saw it, that would help get AI under control. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think Newsom's an idiot for doing it.
Good. Well, good. I'm going to get you on record on that. Look, this automation thing, particularly on loading docks and the like, and it's a curse of the... I am the biggest opponent of the driverless car and driverless huge trucks on the highways. That's got to be bipartisan to stop that. I'm never going to be believing that's okay.
And you're absolutely right, Dom. And I think the longshoremen's concerns are not just wages and benefits. They see long-term, they see a lack of commitment from the employer side to address some of these issues prior to entering a contract. Once you enter a contract for the next 3 to 5 years, whatever they negotiate, you're locked in without being able to talk about it. And this stuff is coming at us way too quick to ignore. So it has to be addressed prior to entering into an agreement, so they have an avenue to address, especially the safety issues that it's going to concern.
Now, when you and I talked the last time, we talked too about your membership, and I hope you heard on Inside Story, I gave you a shout out because we were so glad you were willing to come on. I said we sparred on some of it, but the facts are, I think, that Trump has broken through. We could argue over how much. I don't know if you saw the Inquirer of all places today talking about working class voters across the board, mainly Latino, Bill, that are going to the Republican Party. And for my money, the Republican Party leadership in Philadelphia, to put it analytically, suck. So they're not doing it. There's a movement here, Bill, that's moving away from the Democrat safety net.
I didn't see the article, Dom. I was on a train, actually, but it is concerning. It is concerning as a Democrat. It concerns me that a large portion of our minority community is somehow, you know, not seeing that the working people of the world, you know, not everybody should be Democrat. I agree. I'm very bipartisan when it comes to labor and people that support us. So it is concerning, and something that the Democrats need to address.
Bill, one other area, too. Trump and the way that he talks about tariffs. Now, he could be more precise because it may be hurting a bit. Are you a fan of, let's say, tariffs? Maybe they're more of a threat than actually being out there, like John Deere. You're not going to be John Deere America and then go over the line in Mexico and then keep that brand going here. That's not good for America, not good for workers. What do you think of the use of tariffs?
Well, I think the use of tariffs as a weapon is one thing. The use of tariffs to support the economy is something completely different. If you're going to threaten a company that they take their stuff overseas, then you're going to tax it if they come back, because they're actually moving American jobs out. That's a different commodity than just putting tariffs on imports from certain countries, because that raises the prices of consumer goods and products here. So I think there's a line to be drawn where some tariffs are good, especially when it can be used as a weapon to prevent jobs from leaving America. But tariffs generally on everything, just as a mass production of, a threat, I don't think that's a good idea.
All right. But I would argue, Bill, I'd make an exception. I agree with what you said here. With China, we got into such a bad position, and that's bipartisan. Although, let's face it, Bill Clinton, Al Gore, they were the architects of NAFTA and things like that. Even though Republicans philosophically weren't good, that's when it really broke. What do you do about Chinese goods, though? We get killed by this.
We do, and there's got to be a happy medium. I can't say that if you shut China's goods off altogether, I don't know if that would do the American consumer that much good. I think it would hurt the American consumer. In the long run, Dom, you may be right. In 10 years, it might have an effect. But immediately, people don't react to what's going to happen in 10 years. They want to know what's going to happen next week to their consumer products. And I think it would have a negative impact to begin with. And I don't know if anybody has, either side really has the audacity to just completely cut China's economy out of the American economy. I don't know how productive that would
be. No, that's impossible at this point. But we got to see president after president push back on them. I see them as the enemy, and that's what we're dealing with here. Bill, what's next for the Teamsters now that we've been talking with you a little bit during this election cycle? What's the next big thing for the people you represent?
Well, we're moving. Our biggest enemy right now, to be perfectly candid, is Amazon. They're running rampant over workforces across the country. They're hiding behind antiquated laws. They mistreat their workers badly, and it's been documented by both sides. And they've got a free reign in this country to keep growing and pay people poverty wages and fail to bring them up to standards and work them without any work rules whatsoever. People, you can't even go in and organize an Amazon today because the people aren't there for more than 2 or 3 months. They're turning people over like crazy.
Well, I would argue, too, to your point, my resentment, they're not forced to follow the traffic laws. They park wherever they want. Even if there's a space there, they block streets. And we know in Philadelphia what can happen then. And it seems to be they're coached to do that.
It seems like they don't have any coaching.
No, I mean, they're coached to say, you don't dare park and spend 30 seconds pulling in and out. You just get out of your vehicle wherever you feel like, deliver stuff, and tie up the world. To your point, that seems to be the brand, the attitude.
That is the Amazon business model. They put pressure on people, their employees, and they're told to do so many stops no matter what, and they have no recourse. And if they don't do the model, which is get it off no matter what cost, and then no matter what damage you do to traffic or anything else. So there's really no parameters around Amazon's whole business model.
Bill, the Teamsters now, what happens if the strike goes on? Do you see a point where it intersects and it's harming Teamsters and their interest?
Well, we're absolutely going to honor the picket lines. We work in the same communities. We represent many food delivery groups. But I'm confident that this is going to be a public type of argument. These companies and corporations that run these big shipping lines, they make a lot of money. They make a lot of money worldwide. They're not going to allow this to happen for an extended period of time. They're going to have to sit down with the union and negotiate in good faith and take care of some of these safety concerns. I don't think the money is the big issue that the being portrayed
okay,
in the press.
Okay, but let me ask one other question, Bill. You don't seem like this type of guy. Look, God bless anything. I'm not going to spend other people's money what they do, but the head of this union makes about $900,000 a year. He had a yacht. So it's hard for me to hear the working class saga when a guy's just selling his yacht, the head of the longshoremen, and has a Bentley. I don't know that those things go over so easily.
Well, I don't have that information as you do, I can assure you that I don't make that kind of money.
All right, Bill. Well, thank you again. Thanks for coming on. Where's the website for all things Teamsters here in the area? Where do they go, Bill?
Teamsterslocal107.com.
Thank you, Bill. Stay in the bullpen. This is going to be a long strike. Thank you, Bill Hamilton.
Okay, Tom. Thank you.
Tip of the hat to Henry Hare. Lightning round is next. Jump in with Dom on Talk Radio 1210.
The time has come for the final test.
We usually call it the lightning round.
That's right, and this lightning round is sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo, where they have ample inventory of brand new and beautiful pre-owned Volvos. Enjoy the luxury experience you deserve. They always go the extra mile for their customers because relationships matter at Cherry Hill Volvo. All right, Dan just handed me Talk Radio Gold. I'll just say this. I'm not sure of the analytics here. Henry must have been involved. The most encountered phone numbers we have from, 9-1-2000 and 10-2-2024.
Yeah, so what I put there, Dom, is I got you two sets of data, and I'm not going to tell you much, but that first set of data is from when we switched to the new phone system, we've been keeping track. Right. So I put 2000 in there, but it's only been about 6 or 7 years. It's not all the way back to 2000. I just needed a date there to specify.
Oh, okay. Well, 1-1-2021 is when I started here.
Yeah, the 21 one is just, I wanted to get a number of since the pandemic, because I think the world's kind of changed since the pandemic. What we have standing there of who's called the most. So at some point tomorrow, I'd love to delve into this list with you. So we have two lists. We have one of, since we started keeping track of the phone system, who's called in the most, and we also have since the pandemic, who's been the caller the most.
Ah, okay. And there's one here that, well, we're not going to say anything more. This is Talk Radio Gold tomorrow. Let's go to Richard in Summerdale. Hey, Richard, what's your answer today?
Well, I think classical music, in particular opera.
So you think that's an acquired taste? You can acquire it, you're saying?
Yes.
All right. Thank you, Richard.
I like Richard's answer. I think jazz is the better answer, though.
Yes. I think jazz could go down potentially, but not classical music. Although, this man is proof of the finer things in life. I don't think there's any caller, Dan, and you know I know talk radio. In my experience over 37 years and across the country, I defy you to find another Joe of Exton. Hey, Joe, good afternoon.
Yes, hello, Dom, and good afternoon. Ever since I was honored with the title of in-house guru, I've embarked upon a course of pretentiousness by dressing in a dark blue suit, white dress shirt, ascot, drooping pipe, and the crowning point of my pretentiousness involves the acquired taste for caviar using chopsticks.
Hey! Well put together. Thank you, Joe.
Before you let him go, I just want to reflect because he told us he was going to get fancy one time. We were talking about how he has a corncob pipe, and he told us this one time.
Yeah, a corncob pipe. I'm more sophisticated, a drooping pipe.
See, and now he's got that drooping pipe.
Oh, my goodness. On brand. By the way, the wedding, most recent wedding we were at, they had caviar. I couldn't even go near.
Oh, come on. You got to try. If it's free, sit in there. You're not going
to
try it.
I refused to go. The other foods that were around it on that one table, I would not touch them. They were infected.
Oh, my God.
Just by the idea
of
the
caviar. Such a drama queen
moment.
Although
I have had octopus at a station event. Yeah. Yes. I was fine with that. Yeah. The caviar, though.
Are you an oyster
guy? Good caviar is very good.
No oysters.
No oysters?
No. It's all mythical. Yeah. Let's not go there. All right.
No, it's not. It's a 100% scientific fact. It works every time.
All right, let's go to Bill in Bucks County. Dan, I think his name is on here. That might be tomorrow's discussion. Hey, Bill, good afternoon. Oh, what's an acquired taste?
I don't know how to follow act like Bill.
My acquired taste is Scotch whiskey.
All right, that's another thing I'm not acquiring, and bourbon even worse. When I had to drink that with Rand Paul,
you didn't like it.
It was almost like I was going to spit it up there. And when we're doing the event with them,
I'm with you there, Dom.
It looked like paint thinner. That's exactly what it looks like.
Yeah, but you don't want the thing of, you know, I never really liked bourbon, but then Rand Paul gave me some and I started to like it. It's a nice story there.
The bourbon trail, you're going to one place and you're going to be drunk. The wine trail, you might be able to, you know, go to three or four places, I'm thinking. Yeah. All right. Let's go to... Bruce in the Northeast, Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Bruce, what's yours?
Hey, Dom, you know, speaking of Joe from Exton.
Joe of Exton has a new title, in-house guru.
That's right. Joe of Exton himself is an acquired taste, and his unique responses on the radio.
Oh, God, that is a great answer. All right, guys, we got about a minute here to put this together. Henry, give me a one or two you really like.
Yeah,
today.
I mean, Chris and Malvern kicked off the day perfectly with chopsticks. And then I really love that last answer there of Bruce in the Northeast saying
I like that one, too. I like the chopsticks, too. So, Dan, you may have to
decide. Man, my top three were Jazz, Chopsticks, and Joe and Exton. Your name's a show, Dom. You got to choose.
Yeah, you know, we could award Joe it every day. You mean Bruce's call?
Bruce.
Okay.
Sorry, Bruce's call of Joe of Exton.
Let's go with that.
All right, Bruce goes in the hat.
Bruce is in the hat. The Chopsticks and Jazz were really insightful, but Joe of Exton, that's what people don't understand about talk radio. A lot of political talk, all that stuff, but it's a clubhouse. He's not an actor. He is a real guy. We've met him.
Keep on rocking, because you only rock once.
Oh, God. All right, Rich Cioli is next for 4 big hours.
Where do all my hippies meet?
Tomorrow.
South Street.
Who
South
are the
Street.
Most encountered
where
phone numbers?
Where the dancing is elite. South Street.
Oh, my God.
South Street.
Joe of Exton. Rich Cioli next. Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Dom Giordano. Weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.